Hello, cookbook friends. This is episode 4 of the Cookbook Divas podcast. My name is Carrie, and I'm here with Katie, the other cookbook. And we're going to run through all of the new exciting cookbooks that are coming out in the third week of March 2021 to give you a little preview of what's coming. We're going to talk about beverage cookbooks, celebrity chefs, international cookbooks. There's some baking cookbooks and desserts, of course. Some specialty cookbooks, miscellaneous, and we are excited to check them out. We don't have any advanced copies, so we went through and Katie did a bunch of research to find all the cool stuff that's coming out, and we're going to grab them from the library. So in the next month or two, you'll be able to see me doing cookbook look-throughs and reels about them on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube under Cookbook Divas. And later in this broadcast, we want to invite you to join our new Cookbook Divas book club. Well, we will read a book together in April and talk about it, but I'm not going to tell you what until the end of the episode, because we got to jump into all the new cookbooks that are coming out the third week of March 2021. Yep. Katie, start off. You promised me you're going to talk about a new cocktail book, because you know I'm a big lush.
It's okay. Me too. So this cookbook is called Cocktails, Mocktails, and Garnishes from the Garden, Recipes for Beautiful Beverages with a Botanical Twist. This cookbook's by Katie. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce this name. Strajewski. Sorry. Ooh, I apologize. Yeah. This comes out March 16th. This is a really interesting. So I'm an adult now. I like to pretend. And, you know, getting cocktails, like fancy cocktails, is a goal of mine, like learning how to do that. And these are really crazy cocktails. They use like all kinds of things you might find in your backyard, even like nettles and like berries. And they try to encourage
dandelions.
That would be interesting.
Why don't you come pick some in my yard and you can make me a cocktail and I can have some free gardening services.
Right? I think you might need a few glasses of wine before I serve you my dandelion special. but it's cool because it kind of teaches you like different ways of garnishing your cocktails and like utilizing all these ingredients. And then it kind of allows you to fly on your own so you can learn how to craft your own cocktails and beverages eventually in the future. So that is Cocktails, Mocktails, and Garnishes from the Garden, Recipes for Beautiful Beverages with a Botanical Twist. Go ahead.
I'm very excited about this because I have a huge herb garden in my yard every year.
That's awesome. And I do too. So this hopefully would be really, yeah, this would be really cool to be able to use because sometimes I don't use all my herbs, honestly. Yeah. So that unfortunately is the only cocktail book coming out this week. But
what else is coming out?
I actually am looking forward to this week of March because there's a lot of cool celebrity cookbooks coming out this week. This particular week. This one I've talked about before, and I still love it, even after talking about it for, the fifth time. It's Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue, Every Day is a Good Day. Every time I read this, I want it to be sunny outside, and I want to be able to grill, and I want to hang out with my friends, because that's what barbecuing is kind of all about. So the pictures in this are amazing. They, mouth-watering, glorious meat filled delicious cookbooks or delicious pictures. Sorry. And then, but the cool thing about this cookbook too, is that, they also have a selection of vegetarian selection too, like how to grill vegetables properly. And yeah, so that's really awesome. Rodney Scott's, he's paving the way for the Black community to, you know, pursue the culinary world. And lots of famous people have visited his pit, and they have only accolades. This man, it knows his barbecue. So if you are a avid barbecuer, this is definitely the cookbook to go pick up today or pre-order today. Anyway, so that is Rodney Scott's World of Barbecue, Every Day is a Good Day.
I am excited for the new Giada De Laurentiis cookbook, Eat Better, Feel Better, My Recipes for Wellness and Healing Inside and Out. Now, I know some people don't like her show or can't handle it, but I do like her cookbooks, and she is a really good cook and makes it easy for me and doesn't treat me like I'm stupid.
Oh.
And this one, she's going to walk us through how to choose food that actually makes us feel better and reconfigure our diets to control inflammation, which I need to do, not to talk about my issues. She devotes an entire chapter to a 3-day reboot that she follows several times a year. And so she offers some dairy-free, sugar-free, and gluten-free recipes as well, and a 21-day menu outline that I'm probably too spontaneous to follow that and stick to it, or too lazy. But I know we have some cookbook readers and listeners and fans of our page that definitely would love an outline and just stick to it, and they would do a good job. There's 100 new recipes, and I'm just going to read off what it says on the preview here. Quinoa pancakes, sheet pan parmesan shrimp and veggies, roasted cauliflower, baby kale salad, grilled strip steak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, so man. I know there's a lot of Giada fans that have been dying for this cookbook to come out, and you're in luck. March 16, Eat Better, Feel Better, My Recipes for Wellness and Healing Inside and Out.
Yum. So my next cookbook is called Sheet Pan Everything, Deliciously Simple One-Pan Recipes by Ricardo Larrivé. He is a Food Network star. I unfortunately have not had the pleasure of seeing or reading any of his books. I'm sorry. But this book appeals to me because I really like everything in one pan. One pot, I'm lazy too. So learning how to cook with one sheet pan and not to dirty anything else up is really exciting. Plus, all these recipes given to us by a Food Network star is even better. These recipes look amazingly delicious. And it's just in one sheet pan. So
I need that since I don't have a kitchen sink at the moment. That way I'm only messing up one pan that we have to wash in the bathtub. Don't even picture it. You don't want to know. Yeah.
So it's not just, he goes through like sheet pan 101, you can do prep, you've got snacks, weekday dinners, brunches, entertaining for lots of people, which I think is kind of amazing. I love one sheet entertaining situations, and then obviously sweets as well for this cookbook. So that's Sheet Pan Everything, Deliciously Simple One Pan Recipes by Ricardo Larrivé.
I am going to chat about the Twisted Soul Cookbook, Modern Soul Food with Global Flavors by Deborah Van Treese. Comes out March 16. It is Southern Soul Cooking, but she's updated it with a modern twist, and she wants to get away from all of those, you know, normally Southern cookbooks have country and vintage and farmhouse, la la la. Nope. She reminds us that soul cooking has always been just as seasonally driven as other types of cookbooks. It's not always the comfort food and the fried chicken and you know, mashed potatoes, etc. She has 100 fresh salads and side dishes, main courses, seafood, rich desserts, which is typical of Southern cooking, of course, and some pantry staples to enhance your everyday cooking, including dressings, relishes, and sauces. And I'd like to do better at making my own dressings and not just running to the store and grabbing Ken's Steakhouse Ranch, but
and actually, as I've been doing the vegan thing, it's actually kind of, I didn't realize how easy it was actually to make a dressing. A lot of things just require a blender. So that's really cool.
And they keep long enough, although not as long as the store-bought one with the preservatives, but it's worth your time to shake it up for the week ahead or something.
Sure.
So that is the Twisted Soul Cookbook, Modern Soul Food with Global Flavors by Deborah Van Treese.
Cool. The next cookbook that I'm going to be talking about is called Tangy, Tart, Hot, and Sweet, A World of Recipes for Every Day by Padma Lakshmi. So everybody knows her. So this is her paperback. So the hardcover actually already came out in 2007. So this is the paperback version. So it's like $10 cheaper.
Have they updated it? I wonder for.
I think they've updated a few recipes, but it doesn't. I'm not seeing any clarification on that, to be perfectly honest. But it's done really well. It's number one release in Indian cooking, food, and wine. So, this comes out March 16th. these look super good. She goes through, you know, you can have, she goes through your salads, your starters, appetizers, soups, and then she divides it up into kind of your meat dishes. So fish and seafood, chicken, and then pork, beef, excuse me. And then desserts. And she even goes into pickling and chutneys, which I would really love to get some expertise, like somebody to come in and teach me how to make a perfect chutney, especially Indian chutney. So this cookbook is really, really cool. And it's been doing really well all these years. So that is Tangy, Tart, Hot and Sweet, A World of Recipes for Every Day by Padma Lakshmi. What's next on your list?
I have never eaten very much Vietnamese cooking because I'm always worried as a lifelong vegetarian, there could be a lot of fish sauce or fish broth. So I'm really scared. So I would probably grab this next cookbook, Real Vietnamese Cooking, Everyday Favorites from the Street to the Kitchen. It has three authors, Yumiko Adachi, Shinobu Ito, and Masumi Suzuki. And they go through the French colonial influence and the contributions of Asian immigrant groups. So, for example, some of the things you can learn how to make is the ever-evolving, as they call it, banh mi sandwich.
Yes.
The surprisingly short history of pho, and I've never had pho because I know there is vegetarian pho nearby and I have to go eat some with my friend Radana. But anyway, they're also going to write about the Vietnamese nation's exploding craft beer scene, which I didn't know about, and the amazing variety of dishes served at working class lunch counters. Ooh, I'm very intrigued because I would like to learn, you know, the differences between Vietnamese cooking, Thai, Japanese, you know, what's going on. I don't know much about Vietnamese. Do they use lemongrass like Thai people do? I don't know. So that's Real Vietnamese Cooking, Everyday Favorites from the Street to the Kitchen, comes out March 16.
Awesome.
What's next on your list?
Well, speaking of Vietnamese cooking, I also have a cookbook, kind of a cookbook. It's more like a memoir. So it's called Mango and Peppercorns, a memoir of food, An Unlikely Family and the American Dream by Tung Nguyen, Catherine Manning, and Lin Nguyen. So this is a memoir about acclaimed chefs behind this Vietnamese restaurant Hai Vong in Miami. Well, now I really want to go to Florida. I wish I could, but
they have sunshine there.
I know. I'm like,
we're in Seattle. We need winter sunshine.
Right. And I love Vietnamese food. So this is really cool because, you know, it kind of goes through the history. Like, you know, you've got the Vietnam War and this family escaping the fall of Saigon, taking refugee, going into ending up in Miami, and then you know, creating a life here. So that's a really cool story that I think a lot of people, I actually worked with somebody that immigrated here and was a refugee, and he traveled from one refugee camp to the next from, you know, so his stories were really fascinating. And I don't feel like a lot of people realize the effects of the Vietnam War and how that affected like Vietnamese Thai people, just a lot of people in that area.
You know, I grew up in San Diego and went to school in the early 1970s, and we had many, many Vietnamese refugees at my school and Filipino immigrants also.
Right. But
interestingly, the Filipino mothers would make lumpia and bring that to school for us to try, and it was so good. But the Vietnamese people didn't really share their food, so I didn't get to try it back then.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, this memoir isn't just a memoir. It does have 20 Vietnamese recipes that kind of go along with the whole story of this restaurant and this family. So it's kind of cool. You can kind of experience this whole, you're kind of experiencing their history and their food simultaneously. So that's Mango and Peppercorns, a memoir of food, An Unlikely Family, and the American Dream, coming out on March 16th.
My next cookbook is The Food of Oaxaca, Recipes and Stories from Mexico's Culinary Capital. And I know how to say Oaxaca. I don't know why I just stumbled. So Katie and I are cousins, if you didn't know that. And I'm quite a bit older than her. and when she and her sister were younger, I would give their mom a break from their awesome child selves, and we would go out to dinner maybe once a weekend, and so the girls would pick either Chinese or Mexican food every other week. But I loved Mexican food more than Chinese food, so if I ever got a turn to pick, I would also pick Mexican. So Katie's poor younger sister had to eat a lot of Mexican food because she was outnumbered. So we're excited about this food of Oaxaca because there's really not that many Oaxacan cookbooks out there. And it's a distinctive cuisine. And it's a little bit rustic in this cookbook by Alejandro Ruiz. Comes out March 16th. He includes how to make your own tortillas, which I already learned how to do growing up in San Diego, a few minutes from the Tijuana border.
Awesome.
But he also provides recipes for memelas, tamales, and moles, and I've never made mole, as well as his own creations, such as duck tacos with coloradito, jicama tacos. I would totally eat jicama tacos.
That sounds awesome.
Shrimp, nopal, fava bean and pea soup, catch of the day with tomato marmalade, what? And here's the first thing I will make out of this cookbook, Oaxacan chocolate mousse. Yeah, that is The Food of Oaxaca, Recipes and Stories from Mexico's Culinary Capital by Alejandro Ruiz.
Well, I have a cookbook that's a bit of a, I mean, it's Mexican, but a bit of an American, heavy American influence. It's called Tacos and More.
It comes out. Me at tacos.
Exactly. It comes out March 18th. It's by Publications International. And it's kind of a long cookbook for just tacos. Like, I always kind of go to the same taco, and now I'm realizing I've kind of, you know, pigeonholed myself. I need to like expand. So they have like, it's almost 200 pages worth of like, you know, taco recipes, from seafood tacos to beef, chicken. And like, I don't know what the difference between like a regular taco and a side taco is, but they provide that information for you. And dessert tacos. Oh my goodness.
I think we need to explore this over margaritas, to be honest.
Exactly. They do have drinks in here too. So it's like a celebration of Taco Tuesday. It's wonderful. And if you love tacos, just like me and everybody in the world, you should definitely check out this this cookbook. That is Tacos and More by Publications International.
Now, we're going to present four upcoming vegan, plant-based, and vegetarian cookbooks. And we'll move on to desserts and baking. So don't freak out if you're not vegan or vegetarian. We'll go through it really quick for you. But sure. We do have a lot of vegan and vegetarian readers, so I wanted to make sure that you knew about these new cookbooks coming out. The first one I'm going to talk about is California Vegan, Inspiration and Recipes from the People and Places of the Golden State. Now, I grew up in California, and that's not why I'm vegetarian, because my family was vegetarian before we moved. But it's still, growing up in California, it was hard to go out to restaurants and find anything vegetarian on the menu, much less vegan, in the 1980s and 90s when I was growing up, especially the 70s. But in the 70s, we couldn't afford to go out to dinner, so that wasn't a problem. California is definitely where the vegan culture all began, and a diverse group of innovative chefs are still to this day coming up with new recipes and new things and helping us plan healthful, delicious plant-based meals with the California food aesthetic. I bet there's going to be lots of delicious avocados in this cookbook.
Yes.
And they're produce heavy and original photography. And what's the... Oh, I'm sorry. It is by Sharon Palmer, California Vegan. What is your first vegan cookbook you'd like to talk about?
It is called Eat Plants, Be Happy, 130 Simple Vegan and Vegetarian Recipes by Caroline Griffiths and Vicky Valsamis. Sorry if that is wrong. But I like this because it's a very cute cookbook. It's very colorful. It has all kinds of really fun illustrations all throughout. The actual recipes themselves are photographed, which is like, yay! So it's cute, illustrated, photographed. It's just kind of a fun cookbook overall, but it really wants to emphasize that we are not, every time we think about like plant-based eating, vegan and vegetarian, you know, like we eat two carrots instead of one. That's the example they gave. Rather than, you know, we should start putting vegetables at the forefront of our dishes rather than the foreground. And I really dig that. You know, it's true. We all know it too. Like, I don't need to preach that. We all know deep down inside we should be eating more vegetables.
Yes.
So this has 130 vegetable focused, which I like that they said vegetable focus, because this cookbook's not preachy. It's just like, hey, let's eat more vegetables, please. Yeah. So it puts vegetables kind of like at the core of everything. And then everything else is just kind of a side. And that includes meat too. You know, if you want to add meat instead of tofu, for instance, like, feel free. But, you know, the main thing is like some sort of vegetable dish. So that's Eat Plants, Be Happy, 130 Simple Vegan and Vegetarian Recipes, coming out March 30th. So it's a little later.
Well, I am excited for Lauren Toyota's Hot for Food All Day, Easy Recipes to Level Up Your Vegan Meals. And the reason I'm so excited for it is they put a beautiful picture of someone twirling pasta on a fork on the cover. You got me. You had me at pasta.
Oh, God.
Pasta tacos. I'm just, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yay. So Lauren Toyota is a YouTuber and she has a blog, but she has all new content. So if you followed her blog on YouTube, you'll still see new stuff in the cookbook. She takes us step by step through her favorite everyday dishes and uses tips and tricks to kind of level up leftovers, which is good because we're all cooking at home more. And I definitely, maybe if I was a better cook, we wouldn't have leftovers because we'd eat them faster the first night, but no, whatever. And she saves us from eating the same thing twice. So that is Hot for Food All Day by Lauren Toyota. What's your next cookbook?
My next cookbook is called Spice Box Kitchen, Eat Well and Be Healthy with Globally Inspired Vegetable Forward Recipes by Alinda Shui. I think, oh my goodness, sorry, my name's today. Doctor or MD, I think that's medical doctor. Oh my goodness, what is happening today? she's one of the few MDs in the world who are also trained chefs. Ooh. So kind of nice.
Someone likes going to school, don't they?
Yes. Very, very driven person, obviously. So this recipe book has 175 vegetarian and pescatarian recipes. So this isn't just exclusively, you know, vegetable oriented, which I kind of like. It's very nutrient driven. Like, I believe it even had, so they list a lot of the actual, you know, substitutes you could use and the benefits of them. So like acorns or, you know, here. Yeah, like acorns or avocados or like here's all this list of things that you can use and what they're good for. Pomegranates, for instance, they're rich in antioxidants and they're beneficial for heart health. So she lists like almost it. Seriously, it looks like every food vegetable on the planet and talks about what it's good for, literally, like here are the vitamins and minerals that it produces, like what that does for your body and, you know, how that affects you. I really like this. Like if you're really into nutrition and you're really all about what, you know, you're kind of learning nutrition and wanting to learn how to cook really good food, this is definitely something you should pick up. I'm kind of surprised, and I'm not seeing this, and I'm not sure if this is because this is part of the Amazon look through, but I'm not seeing like a nutrition guide on each recipe, which that's the surprising part. Like it doesn't put calories or like sugar or, you know, protein on there, but it does have like, here are the spices in here. So like, for instance, for you, it has like a list of here's what's got ginger in it.
So that I could avoid it. Yes.
Yeah. It's got like, here's your basic vegetables in there. Like, you know, lettuce, kale, mangoes, bananas. So it's cool because it's very detailed. So if that's kind of your thing, I would definitely check out this cookbook. And that is Spice Box Kitchen, Eat Well and Be Healthy with Globally Inspired Vegetable Forward Recipes. So what's next on the list?
Well, I feel bad because we've been talking about healthy eating, and now we're going to jump into desserts and baking, and I'm so excited. The first book I'm going to talk about is a bit of a mystery. It is The Ultimate Book of Chocolate, Make Your Chocolate Dreams Become a Reality by Melanie Dupuis, or Dupois. Anyway, it's, why is it $50 on Amazon for a hardback?
Oh my goodness.
Not sure what's going on. And there are definitely some photographs in here. They're showing you the utensils that you need, everything. It's like basically a chocolate making encyclopedia. And yeah. I love the step-by-step photos, but there's also some illustrations and charts, and you're learning everything, like the cacao pod, the fresh bean, and how to temper it. Of course, that's important. How to coat your chocolates, etc. How to dip them, like you might dip them in sesame or hazelnut, etc. And how to use all of your tools. I mean, if you're going to try to be a home chocolate artisan, you would totally need this book. It comes out March 16, Melanie Dupuis. But I would only buy it if you're really serious about chocolate making, because $50 is quite an investment.
It sounds like a textbook. Like, it's got textbook price for chocolate making. So if you're like a chocolate student, which I want to be now. My cookbook is also chocolate. It's Chocolat, From the Cocoa Bean to the Chocolate Bar by Pierre Marcolini. This one is not $50. This is $18.
That's more like it.
Right. It feels just a little bit better. Pierre is one of the world's leading chocolatiers. So that's something to be said about this cookbook. This cookbook also has some of the most beautiful photos I've ever seen. It's got like a black background and like this very elegant plate with every chocolate or dessert, whatever chocolate-oriented dessert it is, just nicely plated. It's beautiful. So
basically, when we're done with the podcast, the minute I stop recording, you're going to run into the kitchen and stuff your face with chocolate.
Right.
Like, I can't take it anymore.
Oh my God. It's so, I actually don't think I have any chocolate, which is good because this cookbook is just really pretty. It is very elegant chocolate making. So this is not for like any, not like, you need to be an experienced chocolatier to be approaching this cookbook, to be like, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing this. I mean, if I had free time, I would try, but yeah, these are pretty in depth. They do have like very detailed breakdowns of, you know, here's how you make a praline and here are the tools you use. But, you know, overall these recipes are really elegant. Something you'd see, I think, on like the Great British Baking Show a little bit. They're beautiful, but yeah, they're very complicated. There are 170 recipes in here to try, which is amazing. So if you're really into chocolate, this is definitely another cookbook to consider. And that is Chocolat, From Cocoa Bean to the Chocolate Bar by Pierre Marcolini. What is next on your list?
So I have five more cookbooks to talk about, and the first of those is called Zoe Bakes Cakes, Everything You Need to Know to Make Your Favorite Layers, Bunts, Loaves, and More by Zoe Francois. She is the author behind the original series Zoe Bakes, which is on the Magnolia Network, and I have no idea what that is. Is it something to do with the Gaines family? I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I don't do a lot of cooking TV show watching just because I'm so busy working during the day. But I love cooking shows. I need to get back into it. I need to make time.
I love
Zoe has, let's see, what was I saying? Oh, beautiful photos, as always. We're all about the photos here at Cookbook Divas. She really makes it easy for those of us that aren't cake experts to do easy step-by-step instructions to be foolproof and simple, which is totally what I need. Aha, this does have something to do with the Gaines family.
Yes.
Co-founder. And there's bundt cakes and loaves and a wedding cake, which I would never personally attempt. But I mean, I could. It would be funny. Maybe have a margarita, attempt a wedding cake and
laugh. Yes.
And just, you know, I look through more cookbooks than any other non-professional on the planet, and I see a lot of gorgeous photos, but as I'm flipping through, I'm like, oh, this is nice. I need this. Just, I need this. It's beautiful. Oh, that is Zoe Bakes Cakes by Zoe Francois. Comes out March 16. What's next on your list?
Small batch baking, 60 sweet and savory recipes to satisfy your craving by Sarah Klein. I've never seen Sarah or Sarah spelled that way, but anyway. This comes out March 16, and I love this concept. I love everything about this because I have an inner pig inside of myself, and I will literally make I feel cake one day, and I will make this massive cake just because I want just a slice of cake. And then I'm left with this huge cake and I can't eat it all. So I love this because it goes through like the right portions for small baking. So if you're only baking for like you and your husband or you and your household, even like a cake can be too much for like a 4-person house.
Can I just make one donut?
Yeah, no, I would love that. Just please let me make one donut. So I like this because it's got great measurements in here. So even if you're making stuff for a group of people, you can still portion all of these recipes out to be for, you know, 2 people or for 24 people. So I like that. So it's not just about small batch baking, because I mean, we could all probably do that, but you know, it's got a lot of variety and it's very simple. Like the kitchen equipment, it's not too complicated, which again is really nice, especially when you've got like that compulsion to eat, you know, like the cover cinnamon rolls. So that sounds really great, but do I want to make a dozen cinnamon rolls right now and have them in my house all week? Probably not, but
I would be tempted to just make a mixing bowl full of dough or batter and then just throw half of it away, which is a waste. Just don't even bake it. That way I can't eat it.
Oh, no. Oh, see, that's actually really good. But yeah, it is totally wasteful. But yeah, so that is Small Batch Baking, 60 Sweet and Savory Recipes to Satisfy Your Craving by Sarah Klein. Coming out March 16. I think I said that already. Sorry.
I wonder if her name is Sora, like Laura. I don't know.
It might be.
You should have researched this, but we don't have that much time because we have so many cookbooks to bring to you. So our apologies for not knowing how to say your name.
I'm sorry.
My next book, I'm going to just go over really quickly because it's not of interest to most people, I think. It's called Bread, A Baker's Book of Techniques and Recipes, 3rd edition by Jeffrey Hamelman. I'm judging by the $75 hardcover price that it is a textbook for serious bakers and baking professionals. I'm reading that when it was first published back in 2004, it immediately received the Julia Child Award for Best First Book from the International Association of Culinary Professionals, and it became an instant classic, a masterwork of bread baking literature. So that's Bread, A Baker's Book of Techniques and Recipes by Jeffrey Hamelman. If you're going to go to chef school, I think you should pick it up. Yeah, what's next on your list?
Well, we are now getting into our specialty miscellaneous section of cookbooks. And excuse me. So the next cookbook that I have on my list is the 5-ingredient cookbook for men, 115 recipes for men with big appetites and little time. So obviously, like, there's a huge emphasis on manly recipes for manly dishes. I don't eat.
Is it just all steak and chili? Like, what's the...
No! So I thought that's what it was gonna be. It's actually kind of a healthy cookbook. It's male-oriented. I think they're trying to get you really pumped for eating plants. So like, for instance, there's a whole section for potent plant-based eats. So it's like all plant-based, but they still have recipes for salads in a whole other section. They've got soups in another section. So just the names are all like, some of the names are kind of burly and stuff, but so I think this cookbook is kind of cute for like, you know, dads, like single dads. you know, or people that just don't have a lot of time, you know, they've got kids or something and you've got to stretch your time. And it just, it's kind of fun because it's like, okay, this is geared for dudes and there's plenty of cookbooks geared for ladies. So this one's still healthy eating geared for men, but it's also like, you know, good for single dads or, you know, just single bachelors too, or anybody really. So that is the 5-ingredient cookbook for men, 115 recipes for men with big appetites, little time, coming out March 16 by Benjamin Kelly. What's on your list?
Well, I've never heard of the Kitchen Stories app, but I don't, you really put a lot of apps on my phone. My phone is used as a phone and a camera. But Anyone Can Cook by Kitchen Stories comes out March 16. And users of the app or people that haven't, such as myself, can use it because it, all of their recipes take an hour or less to cook, and they often only use one pot or pan. Thank you. And they're easily adaptable for dietary restrictions, like if you're vegan or gluten-free or vegetarian, etc. Cool. And you learn both basic and advanced cooking skills, and you're just getting comfortable in your kitchen. So I like this, and it doesn't sound insulting. Like if I knew someone that's a newlywed or they newly moved into their house and they haven't really been cooking for themselves, like, you know, a Gen Z that finally gets their first apartment, I would buy this. Anyone Can Cook by Kitchen Stories comes out March 16. What's next on your list?
What is next on my list is called, and I'm really excited. I think you're going to be excited about it too. It's called Melt, Stretch, and Sizzle, The Art of Cooking Cheese, Recipe for Fondues, Dips, Sauces, Sandwiches, Pasta, and More by Tia Keenan. Who can resist cheese? So I really like this cookbook. The styling is really fun. I think the font kind of gives me like a 70s vibe a little bit. Even the design itself is a little 70s, but it goes into more than just, you know, like fondue or melting cheese. It's got like sauces, it's got dips, it's got fried sandwiches, soups, like all kinds of like cheese or things you could put cheese in. So it's also organized by types of cooking or like techniques, which I already talked about, like sauces and dipping, but like even souffles and popovers and... Yeah, so it's really quite a cool cookbook for especially, like, I don't know who doesn't love cheese. I know there's people out there that don't love cheese, but this is...
I like to think of souffles and popovers as things that go flat in my oven.
I've never attempted a souffle.
It's traumatizing.
They even have things like frying cheese, which I'm assuming like paneer would be something you would try, like frying a paneer in like a, or even barbecuing paneer.
Or halloumi. Yeah. Halloumi with some honey drizzled on top.
Mm. Yes. So there's like all kinds of cool. So like, I've never even heard of halloumi before. So, and that is a part of one of these recipes. So if you love cheese and you want to expand on the cheese, but also be able to integrate it in different recipes and stuff, like, and this is recipes from all over the world. There's Indian recipes in here. There's American recipes. There's all kinds. This is a really, really cool cookbook. So that is Melt, Stretch, and Sizzle, The Art of Cooking Cheese by Tia Keenan. And that's coming out March 16. What's next for you?
Well, I can't resist making a joke about the title of that last one. It sounds like my body in the summertime. Melt, stretch, and sizzle.
That's everybody's body.
If only the pounds would melt away. Anyway,
I know.
My next cookbook is Toaster Oven Takeover, Easy and Delicious Recipes to Make in Your Toaster Oven by Roxanne Weiss and Kathy Moore. And I'm laughing because I currently have a little kitchen disaster. We're waiting for the contractor to rebuild my kitchen, la la la. So we're definitely cooking in my toaster, but I do have a fancy like $400 convection toaster oven. So that really helps. But I'm definitely going to grab this cookbook that comes out March 16. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to make breakfast burritos, stromboli. I'm not going to be making sweet chili glazed wings, but okay. Sheet pan fish with olives and capers. And here's something you could make in your toaster oven, German chocolate cake. Hello.
Oh my God.
Love it. And besides the recipes, they include recommendations for the best types of baking dishes, which is good because I've wondered, like, should I shove my Le Creuset mini cocottes in here or not? I guess they can take it. Whether you should use parchment paper or aluminum foil, etc. That's Toaster Oven Takeover, easy and delicious recipes to make in your toaster oven by Roxanne Weiss and Kathy Moore.
That's cool. Yeah, I thought about getting a toaster oven to replace my microwave. So that would be a really interesting transition for sure. So my last cookbook is the New York Times Cooking No Recipes, a cookbook. Comes out March 16th. This is by Sam Sifton, but this is a really interesting cookbook because this has, they say no recipe, like, okay, so it's got 100 no recipe required meals. They've got like, they're like, here, maybe you could put this in this thing, like weeknight fried rice. They're like, they don't list like how much of everything it is. They're just like, okay, cooked rice, vegetables, meat, tofu, garlic, ginger, scallion, soy sauce, sesame oil, blah, blah, blah. But so I kind of like it because it's like sparks the creativity in us. It could either be like a reward or an endangerment. I personally like it because I kind of cook without measurements because I'm just crazy like that sometimes. But yeah, it's kind of a fun cookbook. And then it kind of gives you, I guess, some wiggle room to be able to adjust it how you would like it. So if you like fried rice, but you hate carrots in your fried rice, you could just eliminate the carrots and it's not going to adjust the, you know, it's not going to screw with the taste or anything. So yeah, this is a cool cookbook. It's got big, beautiful pictures in there if you really need them, because it's no recipe recipes, but guidelines, I guess, more so. So that is the New York Times Cooking No Recipe Recipes cookbook by Sam Sifton, coming out March 16.
And that's a wrap. We did it. We went through tons and tons of cookbooks for March. And I wanted to mention really quickly before we let you go back to your lives or other podcasts that you're listening to, we are starting a Cookbook Divas historical fiction book club here at Cookbook Divas. You can find details on our website. We're super excited to begin in April 2021 reading The Kitchen Front, which is brand new. It looks really interesting. It's about World War II, but you can read about it on our website at cookbookdivas.com under our book club pull-down menu. Thanks so much for listening to the fourth episode of the Cookbook Divas podcast, and we will be back next Friday with even more newly published cookbooks that are coming out in the last week of March.
Yay!
Thanks so much.